الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God whom no one has ever seen, the God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace that we all hope to receive on the day of judgment. The greetings which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I have a guest with me today who I've been trying to get on the air for many, many years. I have my youngest daughter, Zakia El Amin. I want to give her the greetings of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And she's here today to do a program, I think, that really touches many people's lives in America. And the title of our program today, The Gift of Sound, A Parent's Journey Through Hearing Loss and Cochlear Implants. And I didn't know this until it touched our family, how many people in America with children being born, you know, every single day with hearing loss. So this have touched our family. She has two daughters with hearing loss, my grandchildren, and we're going to speak about some of the challenges, the way she's navigated this process of cochlear implants, doctor's appointments, and many other things that other people also are facing. And I'll be honest with you, I did not know how prevalent this was throughout the United States, even locally here in our area, dealing with permanent hearing loss. But before we get started, I just want to make a couple of announcements in reference to our classes each week. Our Arabic class is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our Quran study is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And if anyone would like any type of material from us, copy of this program today, you're most welcome to just text me 706-459-1010, and I will ship it to you free of charge. So we're going to just get right into this today because it's a very, very important topic. And let me say also, since we're dealing with, this is more of a public service announcement today, I want to make a special prayer or dua for a young girl in Nashville. Her name is Eva. She's only 3 years old. And I spoke to her mother last week. And she also, just like what we're going to talk about today, when some of these health issues impact our families, how we navigate, who we turn to, what resources that we seek in order to get us through these hard times. So we asked that Almighty God give Eva. Eva has autism. So that is another challenge that families go through that most people don't even experience in their life. So we always pray for families and to give them patience, to give them the courage, the understanding to make the right decisions. So I just want her mother to know today, if she listens, she said she's been listening for many years, that you have a lot of support from our community. Anything you need, please just reach out to us like you reached out to me, and we have our best interests for Eva and your parents. So let's get into speaking about hearing loss. I guess the first question that I want to ask you, and also throughout this program, if you do have a question for Zakia, she's open to answer any question that you might have concerning this process. The number here is 423-642-9393. Let me say this before we start. I did not know that every day in America, about 18 babies are born with permanent hearing loss, and what options are available for them. So take us back when you first noticed or had an idea that Zayna, our first child, was experiencing some hearing loss?
So with Zayna, I had a very healthy, normal pregnancy. I did end up having to have an emergency C-section. Alhamdulillah, everything, you know, went fine after that. And then she ended up failing her newborn hearing test in the hospital. And, you know, the nurses were like, oh, that's normal, you know, with C-section babies, because they don't get to squeeze through the canal and get that fluid out. So we'll retest her, you know, tomorrow. They retested her and she failed her hearing test again. And they were still, you know, not really concerned. They said, you know, just take her to the health department when she's 2 weeks and they'll retest her there. So we went to the health department. We got her tested. They said she failed in one ear and passed in the other ear. And then that's when I started to have a little bit of concern because, you know, like, why is she failing so many of these tests? And so after that, they told us to go to Dalton ENT and that they would do a more in-depth type of test. And they said that they weren't getting a response out of either of her ears. And so in the meantime, like going to all these doctors and stuff, I noticed that Zayna never really startled as a baby. Like you could do anything while she was asleep. You could talk. You could... like nothing really made her flinch or startle. And so we ended up going to this place in Ringgold where they did an ABR, auditory brain response test. And that lady told us that she could hear perfectly fine. Everything was normal. Like her hearing was perfect. And I just had a hard time believing that. Like, if you would have looked in the house and saw me, you would have thought that I was crazy. I would stand behind her and bang pots and pans and just, like, scream out of the blue, just trying to get some type of confirmation that she could hear me. And, you know, the only thing she really responded to was the vacuum. When I was running the vacuum, you know, then she would kind of turn her head and look around because she could feel the vibrations of it.
Or did you know that's what she was responding to at the time?
Yeah, that's all she was responding to. Or like if I would bang my foot on the floor when she was crawling towards the plants, I would like bang my foot and she'd turn around and look at me. And so I told the lady that in Ringgold, I said, I just feel like this baby cannot hear me and I want this test redone. So she did the test again and got the same results that she could hear perfectly fine. And at that point, I was like, I don't know what else to do. So I took her to the doctor and I just told her pediatrician, like, I just don't believe there is no way this child can hear me. And that's when they referred us to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. They were great. Shout out to everybody at CHOA, especially Dr. Harmon. So they did another ABR, but this time they sedated her. And so when she came back in from the test, she just had a look on her face, the nurse, and she was just kind of like, we turned the machine up as high as it would go and nothing.
But isn't that amazing? One agency told you she had hearing loss and another one said she can hear perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that, but I just kind of felt relieved after I got that diagnosis, like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Well, you know, they say mama's know, mama knows.
Yeah.
So what was kind of going through your mind now after you got this diagnosis? I know a lot of feeling and things like this now is happening to you.
Well, at the time when, like, in that moment when she told me that, I was relieved. I was like, okay, at least now we have, I know the next steps I want to take.
Right.
Because before this, I was researching, I was on Google, like, you know, worst case scenario, if she is deaf, like, what are her options? Because, you know, back then I was 18. I was a kid myself. And all I knew is that I just wanted my baby to hear and have a normal life. So I definitely cried. I cried a lot, and I had those thoughts of, like, why me? Why my baby? Like, why do I have to go through this?
And, you know, a lot of people have that type of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I was speaking to the young lady the other day. You know, this is a very vulnerable time that make you question yourself, make you question, is it something I did?
Yeah.
Am I being punished, you know, by God? And all these type of things and mm-hmm. feelings rise up in you.
I was thinking back to my pregnancy, like, I tried to do everything right. Is it something I did? Like, nobody else in the family is deaf. Like, what could have caused this? But, you know, at the end of the day, that's just how she was meant to be.
So what now were some of the steps that the medical people were telling you that you should take first?
So the very first step that day when we got her diagnosis, I picked out her hearing aids because they have to, in order for insurance to pay for cochlear implants, they have to have hearing aids first to prove that, okay, they're not going to, this isn't enough for them to develop normal speech. And that they need something stronger like a cochlear implant. So we picked out her hearing aids, and I don't really think Zaina got much benefit out of them at all. Like, there was one time when I was singing to her and she kind of just stopped sucking her passy and was just like, so maybe she heard
looking
a little
around.
Something. Yeah, but it wasn't enough. And then after that diagnosis, we went through a lot of programs that they had available in Georgia, Babies Can't Wait, and there was another one, Georgia Pines.
Okay.
And so they would come out to the house and they would work with us or work with the baby and just do a lot of different things to help stimulate her because her brain is not being stimulated by sound. So
tell us, you had a choice between hearing aids, and when did they talk to you about the cochlear implants?
Well, I talked to them first.
And tell everyone what are cochlear implants.
Okay, so let's start with the difference between cochlear implants and hearing aids. Hearing aids, they amplify the sound that you already have. So they would be beneficial for somebody with like moderate or mild hearing loss. Because they have some type of hearing, it's basically just amplifying that sound. For people like Zaina and Zarina, my daughters, they had sensory neural severe to profound hearing loss. So basically deaf. They could not hear anything without their ears. And so that's when...
ears, now people don't...
Oh, so we call their cochlear implants their ears. So when their cochlear implants are not on, they can't hear anything.
So they can take them on and then take them on and off.
Mm-hmm. So a cochlear implant has two parts. It has the internal equipment and then the external equipment. The internal is like a little computer chip that is placed up under their scalp. And then it has like a little tail that coils into the cochlea. It's like a seashell-shaped structure in your ear, and there's little electrodes at the end of that tail. And so when the external piece, the processor, is connected to their magnetically connected to their head, that's when it turns on and it activates those electrodes and it turns it into sound.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That causes them to be able to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. When did you decide to have the cochlear implants? Because some deaf children, the parents choose not to go with cochlear implants.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you choose cochlear implants?
I chose cochlear implants because at the time we were living in a small city. Zaina was the first deaf person I ever knew. And we weren't able to be like so emerged into a deaf community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I just wanted her to be able to speak, hear, be included. You know, sometimes deaf people can feel isolated when they're the only deaf person in their family or whatever. So I just wanted her to be able to hear and speak. That was my goal. And, you know, I shared our story a little bit online and I got a lot of backlash from the deaf community.
Mm.
I was bashed.
Why was that?
Because deaf people, they feel really strongly about their culture. They call it, you know, deaf culture. They said I took that away from them, that I should be in jail for child abuse. It should have been their choice if they wanted to have surgery. I took away their deaf culture. I was bashed because I didn't teach them sign language. But the people I was working with, the therapists and the audiologists, they said, you know, if you're going to go the route of cochlear implants, we normally don't recommend doing sign language as well, because sometimes the kids can start to rely on just signing and they don't want to talk. So that's why I was like, well, we're just going to do what we, it's called auditory verbal therapy. And so that's,
it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out.
I'll tell you, when this was happening, and I was working at the time, I don't know if you remember this, mm-hmm. when you was mentioning cochlear implants, there's a girl in my office that had a friend whose daughter had cochlear implants. I don't know if you remember.
I remember that, because yeah. We went and met and spoke.
I had them bring that little girl to the office, and you could not even tell that girl was deaf at all. Mm-hmm. She spoke perfect.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it.
That moment right there is what gave me hope, because yeah. I'm not going to lie. When we first got her diagnosis, I felt hopeless. Like, God, what is her life going to be like? Like, what are we going to do? But meeting that little girl, that really gave me hope.
I tell you, it opened my mind that, like, this, the possibility is there for her to live, you know, more of a normal life, mm-hmm. not to be excluded. So what is the kind of the time frame between when they diagnose a child with permanent hearing loss and when you can get the cochlear implant?
Well, here in America, the FDA does not approve cochlear implant surgery before a year, so they have to be at least a year old.
Mm-hmm.
So for Zaina, she was scheduled to have her surgery done right at a year, but of course she ended up getting sick and that pushed it out. So she had her right ear done at 14 months and then her left ear done at 16.
So it can't be done. It's risky to do both of them at the same time?
Well, they were just saying that was a lot on a baby to do both ears at once. But the second time around with Zarina, I did choose to go ahead and just have them both done at the same time, because it's very, very nerve-wracking for your little baby to be put under anesthesia like that. So I was like, let's just get them both done at once.
And it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after the cochlear implants are implanted in their heads, which is, that's a miracle in itself,
mm-hmm.
because I see them, it's like a magnet up here, and if they don't want to hear something, and I've seen this before, if they don't want to listen to their parents or whatever, they just take them off.
Yep. Zarina, my second daughter, she was very bad about that.
Yeah.
When she gets mad or something like that, she would take them off. But Zarina, she would take the one off that was closest to you and leave the other one on so she could hear, like, what you were saying about her.
Right.
And still
Okay.
Yeah. But they both went through that phase. When they were done, when they're sleepy, when they're tired, they take them off.
Okay. So let me ask you another thing that some people might ask about, the expense for cochlear implants, about insurance. How do insurance play into that?
Well, they had Georgia Medicaid at the time, and their insurance covered everything.
Everything?
Everything. Mm-hmm.
So, I wondered about that, because when I went to Atlanta down there with you once, there was a lot of children that's coming from very families who are poor families, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, how are they able to afford, those who don't have insurance, those who lose those cochlear implants, because they are very expensive.
Yeah.
How do they cope with that? Or is there some type of charity that people can donate to in order to help families who maybe don't have insurance or who can't afford the cochlear implant surgery?
I'm not sure. I know that our cochlear implant company that we went through, they will give you, like say you lose a cochlear implant, they will replace it one time, but after that you have to come out of pocket for it.
What's the expense for maybe one, if you know for sure?
I'm not sure. I know it's in the 100,000s.
Really?
Yeah, like one of their batteries is $200.
Wow.
One battery is $200. That's why I'm always on my kids, like, keep up with your stuff. If it falls off, stop immediately and look for it.
Okay. So let's get into now After Zarina have received the cochlear implants, tell us about the experience. Tell us about the experience when they first heard sound.
So for Zaina, when she first got activated, that's what they call it, activation day.
Okay.
They start them off very low. So they're not starting off at like how we hear now. It's very soft. But when she first heard my voice, I was like, hey, Zaina. Hey, like she just had a big smile on her face.
Man, that had to be emotional.
Yes, my mama was holding her and I was standing there and I was like talking to her. I was like, I love you. And she started reaching to my, like, to touch my mouth. And I'm like, yeah, that's where my sound comes from. And, you know, I was just talking to her and stuff. And then for Zarina, I got nervous that hers were not working because when they turned her on, she stood like she froze like a statue for at least 60 seconds.
Wow.
Like she was still. And then she just buried her head in my chest. And then she would look up again and look all around. I think she was just shocked.
That has to be something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So some people ask, how does a cochlear, how does the sound sound to a child who has a cochlear implant? Because from what I read, the voices, like we hear each other,
mm-hmm.
is not like the voice, a regular voice of a human being. Is that true or not?
Well, I wondered that as well. And it's really hard to tell, especially with kids who, that's all they know. They don't have anything to compare to it. So I'm on like some cochlear implant pages on Facebook, and a lot of adults who have had hearing and lost it.
Yeah.
They say that at first when they turn it on, it's very robotic or like Donald Duck sounding.
Yeah.
And it takes the brain time to get used to it. And they say eventually it starts to sound like they're hearing before they lost it.
Right.
So
let me ask you this, since Zaina's in what, seventh grade now?
She'll be going to seventh grade.
Seventh grade. And Zarina's going to?
Third.
Third, okay. Are there certain challenges in school for them since they have cochlear implants?
It is, but not by much. Now that they're older, not really. But like when they were in pre-K and kindergarten, I wouldn't really say it was challenging for them. It was more so of like educating the teachers. Because like I said, we're from a small town. My kids were like the only ones that had cochlear implants, so the teachers aren't familiar with it. So I would have to go at the beginning of the year, try to give them a quick course on how to use them. The school does provide them with a microphone system, so the teacher would wear a microphone, and then there's a little Bluetooth connectivity that connects to their ears. So wherever the teacher is in the room, the teacher's voice is going straight into their ears.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's nice.
So like they're not missing anything.
All right.
And I always just tell the teachers, you know, they need to sit up front, so close to the speaker so they can hear. Things like field day, when they have a lot of the water activities and things like that, we have to switch them over to their waterproof ears.
They can swim
they
with them.
They can swim and enjoy that. We just have to use their waterproof box.
Right.
So.
Well, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are wondering why are children? What are some of the reasons why children are born deaf? And I read where 90% of deaf children are born to hearing parents. 90% of them. And that one half of childhood hearing loss is genetic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you did some studying on that?
Yeah, so back in 2015, me and Zaina had genetic testing done, and the results came back inconclusive. Now, there is one gene, I forgot what it's called, but there's one gene that is very common for deaf children to have. It's where both parents carry a deaf gene. Both hearing parents carry a deaf gene, and they pass it down to their child, and then the child is deaf. But in our case, that wasn't the case. I don't have any deaf genes. and Zaina didn't. So we don't really know what caused it. But since I had a second child and she came out deaf as well, the doctors said, you know, more than likely it is something genetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're always finding new genes and stuff every year, and they'll call us periodically, like, with an update. The most recent one, they called, I think, 2 years ago and told us that they think it could be one gene. I can't think of the name of it, but that specific gene only causes hearing loss, and that's it. Just hearing loss.
Wow. If you have a question for Zakiya, I know many people. I know you. What, you on Instagram?
Yeah. No, I'm on TikTok Live right now.
Okay. They may have some questions there. But if anyone have questions here locally that may be experiencing the same thing or going through some challenges, or you just have a comment on how you did things with your child, the number here is 423-642-9393. 423-642-9393.
And if you'd like to join in on my TikTok, it's Zakiya underscore 95.
You probably need to spell it.
Z-A-K-E-Y-A underscore 95.
Okay, another impressive thing. I just want to give you some accolades, really. Because I know that this was definitely important when you're going through an experience like this. Is to be organized with doctor's appointments, with medicine, with surgeries, traveling back and forth to Atlanta all the time. You know what I mean? What was that like?
It was a lot. Thankfully, at the time, I didn't have to work. That was a blessing. So my schedule was pretty open, but I had to be very organized with everything. I had a binder for each child, and I just kept like all their audiograms and things like that, important paperwork. I had to, you know, have a calendar, keep all their appointments and stuff organized. And it is a lot of ripping and running, a lot of appointments. Georgia Pines and Babies Can't Wait, they came to the house a couple days a week, so it just kind of felt like it was always something, you know?
So they would come out to your home?
Mm-hmm. They would come out to our home and work with them. So
how are they doing now?
Now they are doing...
I mean, listening to them, you would never know that they were deaf.
You would never know. They're doing so good. Another thing I want to say, a lot of people have the misconception that when you get cochlear implants, it's just a quick fix and like, okay, they can hear now. That is just step one. Mm. The real work is with the therapy, the auditory verbal therapy. And I always say it becomes your new way of life, not just when you have that hour set aside a day or whatever for therapy. It really becomes your way of life. Like, you start finding every opportunity to incorporate it in your day-to-day life, so they end up developing normal speech. It's just like they call it a hearing age. So when they were implanted at 1 year old, they were one. But their hearing age was that of a newborn.
Wow.
So they would hear knocking. They would hear water running. They would hear footsteps. But that didn't mean anything to them. You had to teach them. And so with auditory verbal therapy, they have the Ling Six sounds, which is ah, e, oo, sh, and it might be one more. And so that's how you start. You would cover your mouth with something, so because a lot of kids tend to read lips. Zaina, she is a good lip reader. So you cover your mouth so they can't rely on reading your lips, and then they will have a bucket of blocks. Take a block out and hold it up to their ear, and you kind of have to demonstrate it for them. But you go ah, and if they hear the sound, they put it in.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the first steps of that. And then as they get older, you say the sound, and then they repeat it.
Okay.
So
it takes a lot of work at home.
A lot.
A lot of work at home.
A lot of work.
Well, let me ask you this. Sometime do you have to get the hearing aids, not hearing aids, excuse me, cochlear implants adjusted because of their growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead.
Yeah, it's called mapping, but I call it a tune-up. Like when it's time for them to have a little tune-up.
How can you tell they need a tune-up?
So in the beginning, they go every couple months to turn the volume up because, like I said, they start them off very low and then they slowly increase it up to a normal hearing level. And when it's time for them a tune-up, the shh, those kind of softer frequencies are the first to go. When they start saying, huh, that's why I'm like, yeah, it's time for a tune-up.
All kids are ignoring their parents.
I know. And Zaina uses it against me. I'm like, did you not hear me calling you? Oh, sorry. I have my ears off.
Oh, okay. So they use that against you.
Yep.
I had a question here I was going to ask about. With those adjustments, a parent can't make them themselves. You have to go back to the doctor to have those tune-ups.
Yeah, you have to go to the audiologist. Now, there's an app that I have on my phone, and the audiologist can put, like, three programs, that's what they're called, or like three different settings on there. And she would tell me, okay, this week start at number one, try to move up to number two next week and see how she does. So I could adjust it to a certain extent at home.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to maybe put out a little note here that most people may not know that in the United States, there are about 3.6 to 3.8 million births each year in the United States. And that is approximately 6,000 to 7,000 babies who are born with hearing loss, some type of hearing loss, or permanent hearing loss. So I know when we were all going through this, I thought that I had never had an idea how many children may be going without hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I grew up in my neighborhood, there was only one guy that was out that ran around with us that he could not hear my whole life. He's the only deaf person I ever been around. And back then, they didn't have this type of technology. So mm-hmm. it was very hard for he did signs and then he would try to speak, which was not very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But so this technology was not here. So the technology that they have today, I think really it is a blessing
mm-hmm.
for children to be able to acclimate themselves in society like any other child.
Right.
And you never hardly, if I think there's the parents working with them like the way you did at home and being a consistent resource and with education and things like this really benefits down the road. Where normally if you didn't tell, like when they come around my friends sometimes, they never know that they are a deaf at all.
Right.
At all. You would never, mm-hmm. never know until if you said something about it.
Right.
Now, I know sometimes they have been with me and their battery run down.
Yeah.
Now, that's just, I mean, it's kind of weird to say, she say, hey,
my ears are dead.
My ears
are
dead.
That's what they say. My ear went dead.
So what's the problem? What's happening with that?
So the cochlear implant has a couple different pieces. We have the head piece with the magnet in it that attaches to their scalp. We have the processor, which hooks behind their ear. And then we have the battery that connects to the processor. And so those batteries have to be charged every night. And it's so weird because Zaina's batteries always go dead quick. And I guess it's just like, I don't know what causes it, but she goes through so many batteries. Like, usually the last time I ordered batteries, I got the biggest one they had. And so that one will usually last her throughout the day. But I always tell them, keep extra. Like, when you take them off the charger in the morning, go ahead and put two more on the charger in case they go dead during the day.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you have any contact or did you get involved with or reach out to other families here in our area that has deaf children, like they have some type of camaraderie together?
Yeah, so there was a little group that at the Anna Shaw Center in Dalton, for a while we went there and we were able to meet other kids who had cochlear implants and, like, You know, for me, it was nice to be able to talk to other parents because they know what you're going through. They understand your struggles. You know, you can kind of get different ideas from each other because back then, the hardest part when they were younger was keeping them on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a crafty person. I went to Hobby Lobby and I made them headbands. I also ordered some off Etsy from other CI moms out there that were making stuff. So, yeah, it was nice to meet up with them. And then their audiologist in Atlanta, she would periodically email me and say, hey, I have a family that's getting ready to start this journey. Do you mind talking to them? And so I would always talk to other parents and just, you know, tell them my story, let them talk to Zaina, because it gives you a lot of hope in the beginning when you feel so hopeless, like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah,
it just is it's comforting to the parents to see, like, it's gonna be okay, they're gonna learn how to talk. So,
isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to talk to people who's going through your experience, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you go and travel, I always have found that whatever problem situation you're going through, there are other people that are experiencing the same thing.
Right.
And if you can tap into those people who've already gone through some of those experiences, they can kind of give you an assurance, like you're talking about, making you feel better. Like, look, it's gonna be okay,
mm-hmm.
which is very important. If you have a question here for Zakiya, we're speaking about the gift of sound, parents' journey through hearing loss, and being able to implement cochlear implants. The number here is 423-642-9393, 642-9393, or you can text me your question and I will give it to her right here on the air. We know there's a lot of people who have and is currently going through some of the same situations here with children who have hearing loss. I do have a couple of questions here, and they're asking if the girls, if they ever expressed their thoughts and feeling on being deaf.
Yeah, so I actually asked them the other day. I was like, how do y'all feel about being deaf? Like, you know, like the pros and cons. And they have expressed, like, sometimes I just wish that I could hear like you, Mama. Like, so, like, when I go swimming, I don't have to worry about my waterproof ears, or I can just, you know, do this and that. And then, Zaina actually told me, she was like, but I like being deaf at night because I can just sleep peacefully. She was like, I don't know how you sleep with all that thunder, like when it's thundering and stuff. And a funny thing about thunder, though, because you would think thunder wouldn't bother a deaf child because they can't hear it. But I remember one time it was thundering so bad, and Zaina woke up out of her sleep and came, like, she ran in there and she was like, Mama, what was that? Was like, how did she hear that? But she felt it.
Oh, she felt it.
Yep, she felt the rattle. I was like, that's crazy.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another concern that parents have with deaf children, and that is like riding bikes, navigating, being around traffic, or being in situations where critical situations where a command have to be given at a certain time to try to save a child from being harmed. Have you ever ran into any experiences like that with them out playing or riding their bikes or something like that? They don't have their hearing, they don't have their ears on.
Well, most of the time, like when they're outside, like they have their ears on 24/7. But I do always supervise them when they're outside for that exact reason, because a lot of these newer cars are very silent. Like, you can't hear them coming
right.
up. But I will say that their hearing is so good that they can hear when a car comes. Or, like, if they're far away from me, if I yell their name, they can hear pretty well. So it is a concern, and that's why I'm
you
always
have to be
there.
Extra cautious.
Yes, you have to be extra cautious.
Yeah. You know, there's when all of this came about, we were reading here in the Quran, where if you read the 18th surah to Kaf,
mm-hmm.
the cave, which is something very interesting to show you like a miracle in the Quran, because we're talking about deafness. It's about youths who went into the cave, these youth who were righteous people, and to get away from this evil king and evil society, they went into the cave and God put them to sleep. And in the Quran it says, and God covered their ears. You see, because even when we sleep, mm-hmm. our ears are still active. That's how we get up on alarms and different right. things like that. But in this case with these youths, God says he covered their ears, meaning mm-hmm. that put them in a situation of deafness so right. they could not hear. And yeah. so they slept for over, 300 years mm-hmm. plus nine. Isn't yeah. that amazing?
That's amazing.
I mean, who would have thought? So what other advice you might have for parents who may be going through this type of situation?
Just, you know, be patient. Don't lose hope. It's very, very hard. Like, I feel like this journey has been... It's harder on the parents. The kids are resilient. They're not going to remember their surgery. They're not going to remember all the therapy. But for us, it's very stressful. For me, it was at least very stressful. So just don't stress too much and just know that it's going to be okay. If you're doing what you need to do, staying on top of it with the therapy, reading books and exposing them to as much language as possible, it'll all work out.
Good. Another question here. Will they have to have the cochlear implants replaced one day?
So, yeah, they'll have to have it replaced eventually. And Zarina, she actually had to have both of hers replaced because right when she was about to have her implants done, they had come out with a newer implant to where it was MRI compatible. And so, of course, we went and was like, okay, we're going to get the latest model or whatever. And this is the internal equipment I'm talking about.
That's inside. She has to have surgery.
Yeah, she actually has to have surgery for it. And so there was a recall 2 months after she got implanted. And, you know, they sent out a message and was like, you know, look out for this, this, and this. And I was like, oh, God, I hope hers isn't one that failed. But sure enough, one ear, when we went to the doctor, the audiologist was like, she's not getting a good quality of sound in this one. So she had to be re-implanted. And then after that, a couple months later, the left ear started failing. And so she had to have surgery again and, you know, get a new implant on that side. But I will say the recovery for cochlear implants is not bad at all. Like Zaina, after her surgery, a couple hours afterwards, she was up, walking around, playing. So it's not a horrible recovery period for them.
Okay. I'm getting that one of the most common genes involved in hearing loss is what they call the GJB2, if you ever heard of that before. The GJB2 gene that is very prominent in causing hearing loss. So you're young now and looking to get married again in the future, is that right?
Maybe, I don't know.
So do you look to have if you marry again, do you look to have more children in the future, or are you thinking like this is it, or because of the situation with the first two, is that giving you some type of hesitation of having any more children?
I do always wonder if I did have other children, if they would be deaf as well, and that is a concern. But at least if I did have another child and they were deaf, I know what to do, and I'm like a pro now. So
what's the possibility?
I don't know, because they told me with Zaina, if I had another child, that it would be very unlikely that child would be deaf too. And then
that's what they said.
Yeah, that's what they said. And then Zarina, she came out deaf. I feel like I took Zarina's diagnosis harder. And I know you remember this.
Yeah.
When she failed her, when Zarina, my youngest daughter, failed her test in the hospital, they tried to console me and say, oh, it's okay, C-section baby. And I was like, I've heard this before. And I just knew in that moment. And I had just had that C-section, and I hobbled to the bathroom, and I stayed in there for like 30 minutes, and I just cried my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I don't want to go through this again. It's like, I just want to enjoy my baby.
Right.
Because when you get that diagnosis, it's instant. Here come the therapists, the appointments. And I'm like, I just want to enjoy my baby. But one thing about it, when I was pregnant with Zarina, I had her an appointment in Atlanta before I even knew her name. I was still pregnant with her because I was like, we're not going to go through the same hoops and all that before. I'm going to take her straight to the audiologist and know for sure. So I told Kelly in Atlanta, I just want to enjoy her for a month, enjoy having a newborn, and then we'll get her tested. So we got Zarina's diagnosis when she was like a month old.
Wow.
And even though I already knew, I still cried again that day.
But this prepared you. You've already been through it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also think, like, now Zaina has some, like, she's not the only one in the family. They have that in common. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some, they can relate to each other on that.
Let's talk about Dr. Harmon before we go to another subject here. She was the surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very pleased with her. I just wanted to kind of give her, you know, a little plug here.
I love Dr. Harmon. She felt like family. She really did. Because if you know me, you know I'm a very nervous, anxious person. I'm a worrier. I'm an overthinker. And my nerves were tore up when Zaina was getting ready to go and have her first surgery. And Dr. Harmon grabbed me by my shoulders and she said, I got this. And I got her. She said, everything's going to be all right. And she gave me a hug and just like, that made me feel so much better. And she is great.
Yeah.
She is so great. She listens to my concerns. She takes everything serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, before going to all these doctors, I felt like they weren't listening to me or they were blowing me off. But anytime I had a concern, they were right on top of it.
Good, good. So let's talk about now the spiritual aspect of all of this, because it tests your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Situations like this will test your faith.
Yeah.
And people have to know, I mean, many people go through it. I mean, it's not an unnatural thing. I think it's natural to question maybe or to internally look at yourself to see if you're going to place blame on yourself or blame on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear and many people that go through traumatic situations like this, what they're looking for is an answer, like why.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I know you kind of went through some ups and downs like that. So
mm-hmm.
spiritually it impacted you.
It did, because I'm just like, you know I've made my mistakes and stuff, but I just could not understand why I had to have this test. Why was this happening to me? I just felt like despair. That's what it felt like, absolute despair. And I remember one day at the Atlanta hospital, I just looked around in the audiology department at some of the kids that were in there. Some were in wheelchairs. Some were like, didn't even know they were in this world because they had hearing loss on top of something else.
Mm.
And in that moment, I was like, it made me a little bit more grateful that, okay, at least it's just hearing loss, because somebody else is dealing with something way worse.
Right, right.
And then, you know, like, those children will never be able to run, jump,
and
play.
That's God showing you the signs right there.
Mm-hmm.
To be grateful for what you have. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's always somebody else in a worse position than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
With the therapy we did, you have to talk a lot. So my kids are talkers and yappers, and they just be yapping and yapping and yapping. And sometimes when I get just so, like, overstimulated, I'm just like, there was a possibility that they never could have spoke and would have been mute. So I'm grateful they can at least speak and
don't you think it's a
themselves.
Test?
It is
I
a
mean,
test.
What happens to you can only make you better in the future. It's mm-hmm. for a reason. Everybody have their own tests and challenges in life. And so that's what kind of mystify me sometimes when people say, I just want a normal life. Mm-hmm. Well, what is a normal life? What is normal life without any problems, without any debt, without any calamities coming in your life? That's not a life. A life is going to be filled with challenges and ups and downs. And what we're talking about right now, health issues and deafness, blindness, and all of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a person say, why me? It's almost like saying, I'm too good for that to happen to. It should have happened to that other family.
Why isn't it somebody else?
Yeah, why not you? And just like what you said, when you look at your situation with deafness, and then you see these other children in these wheelchairs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and some serious, serious medical conditions, you just have to say, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for what you've given me. And just give me patience.
Always somebody that's going through 10 times worse.
10 times worse. So that's why we always need to be faithful, mm-hmm. regardless of what happened to us. We got to know that somewhere in it, there's good in it for us, because it can increase your faith. You know what I mean? And if you're patient, this is the thing. If you're patient, then you're going to be rewarded for that patience, because you are winning the test.
Right.
But if you're impatient and say, why me? God, why would God punish me like this? Is mm-hmm. there even a God? You will fail in the test.
Yeah.
Because Allah says, do you think that you will be left saying, I believe, and not be tested?
Right.
So everybody's going to be tested. You, me. So another good thing is family.
Oh, yeah.
Family has to be involved.
For sure. And I can honestly say, I don't know what I would have done without my support system. You, Mama, my sisters, y'all have all just really been there for me, especially in the beginning, traveling back and forth to Atlanta for like the first year or so. You or Mama were driving me down there, because that traffic was just too much for me.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that.
We look for compensation later on,
Daddy.
No, but I mean, that's the another component that people miss, because a lot of people in situations like our family was in, they don't have family resources.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I worked for the state with dealing with children and stuff like that, you'd be amazing how important family is when children are in despair, disabilities and stuff like that. If they don't have, they have people around them that don't even know them.
Mm-hmm.
People are just doing their job. They're not doing it with compassion and concern and love.
Right.
They're just doing the job to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have families who are that support system that's going to be with you after hours.
Yeah.
Children understand that. They feel that.
And it makes a difference.
It makes the world a difference. So what are now you are aspiring to do? I know your girls are now getting on up where you can move around a little bit.
Yeah, I have a little bit more freedom now. So I've just been working, you know, inshallah, just doing what I got to do, working, living.
Just trying to stay on the straight path.
Stay on the straight path, yes, sir.
Well, I'm very happy that you came today. I think programs like this benefits many people. Because hearing many other people's stories, challenges, it helps people out there. And when you're on the radio, I mean, you don't know who's listening to you out there.
Yeah.
You don't know who it's going to help. I mean, I've gotten calls from people years later who told me, and have told me certain situations they were in, and they heard this or heard that, It's almost like you're speaking in a vacuum, but you're not, because
right.
you never know who's listening. So telling your story, and that's why I bring people on every now and then. We have some of the doctors here in our community come on sometime, the neurologists and pediatricians and psychologists come on and talk about their skills, because somewhere out there, somebody, if it only benefit one person, like what you've said today,
mm-hmm.
if it helped one person, then we have been successful.
Right.
Disseminate knowledge is the key. And so we come on this program, we don't just, you know, come in here and just do lectures and lectures and lectures.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to come also and bring information that's going to benefit many other people who may not be on our spiritual aspect of belief.
Right.
But the thing is that we are part of the human family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We all have to coexist with each other, regardless
right.
of what you believe, who you are, what color you are. We have to coexist. And when these type of disabilities and things impact families, it's not based on belief.
Right.
It's based on human need, where you need to help people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're taught. You have to help people when help is needed, regardless of who they are, what they believe. And if we do that, then we truly believe that we're on the right side of Almighty God, in the way that He will help us to help other people. Because the way that Almighty God helps people is through other people.
Right.
Right? You don't be sending That's down true. No angels no more to do things. If you might need some money or some help, it might be somebody knock on your door, or some family member say, hey, can I help you? You know?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
My door is knocked on lock. Okay.
It's all about community and just helping those that need help.
Absolutely.
So you can have somebody to lean on. You have to lean on each other.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. So, okay, we're running out of time, and I want to appreciate you being here today. I hope that your journey, all of our journey, is positive. And I hope that we can surround ourselves around our children to protect them, not just from health issues, but from just society issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about health today, but there's a whole other component out there for us to try to protect our kids from evil, protect them from manipulation, exploitation that we see in our society today. That's how important families are. That's how we have to do it. So I want to thank you for coming on. I know you really didn't want to. I had to twist your arm 2 or 3 times. I know, yes. And so very shy, but look, I think you did a very nice job today.
Well, thank you. I was very nervous.
You think she did a very good job today in talking about it? Because, you know, through all of this, look how educated you are now about this topic, about mm-hmm. cochlear implants and all of these things. And that's why we're always told that everything that God placed on us, there is good in it. Even though you may not see the good right now, there's good in it. So if anyone would like a copy of this program, if you have any comments, suggestions, you can text me at 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. Do you have any contacts?
Yeah, if y'all want to follow me and on TikTok or Facebook, you can follow me on TikTok at Zakeya_95, Zakeya_95. And then you can find me on Facebook as well, Zakeya El Amin. I'm always posting little things of the girls' videos and stuff. So if y'all are interested to see how they speak and that they're just like any other kids, go ahead and give us a follow.
All right. Okay. Again, thank you for coming. I'm going to give you the greeting. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And until next week, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.